gives away the game when he says, you know, that's what people say when they're quoting the movie. That's what they say when kids are out playing, like pretending that they're stormtroopers and such.
He said that?
Yeah.
I didn't get
no
that.
No fucking Star Wars kid ever pretended to be a goddamn stormtrooper. You
I call
fucking
stormtrooper.
Nazi.
Oh, I got shot. Right. I guess oh, I'm out of the yes. game as a child for the rest of the day. Fuck. Why do I always pick stormtrooper?
God awful movie.
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 Welcome back to the Gamcast, where each week we sample another selection from Christian cinema because the Iowa test of basic skills was way off. I'm your host, No Illusions, and sitting 700 miles to my immediate left is my good friend Heath Enright. Heath, welcome back.
Oh, it's actually Keith Enright.
Oh, is it? My bad.
Yeah.
I thought it was Heath this whole time.
Getting that wrong occasionally. It's weird.
And Eli is off this week, but in his stead and sitting 3,000 miles due that way is veteran guest masochist Kara Santa Maria. Kara, how are you this fine afternoon?
Oh my God, you guys.
You said you like documentaries. You said that was your favorite kind of movie.
This was about science for you to communicate about. It's one of your jobs.
Right up your alley.
Looking forward to it.
All right, but quick before we dive into that, I do want to remind everybody that we're going to be doing a live God-Awful Movies record in Washington, D.C. on August 14th. Tickets are available at godawfulmovieslive.com. Just check the show notes. And it's already looking like we're going to have a better attendance than Trump's stupid fair. So come on out, vandalize the reflecting pool, and have a blast. And with
we
that,
we might have
the way,
Vanilla Ice, just like he might have had. I don't know if he shut up.
Hey, you know what? The Commodores didn't cancel on us either. So with that out of the way, tell us, Heath, what will we be breaking down today?
We watched The Mandela Effect Phenomenon. It's the story of people forget stuff. Mm-hmm. Or is it? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. All right. And Kara, how bad was this movie?
Well,
nice.
If you liked An Inconvenient Truth or The Thin Blue Line or any other great investigative documentary, you will decidedly not love this documentary. Because this is a pile of shit that doesn't matter. And I'm so mad that you guys made me watch
it. I know, because like the more you like good documentaries, the more you will hate this movie because it's so sloppily done. Like constantly
but
they'll be like, I should have looked that up. I should have looked that up. Like your shit right there. Why don't you fucking look it up and then take another take, you lazy son of a bitch.
But looking it up is the material. The people who are in on it fix the stuff you might look up. So you
well,
can.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about when he's like trying to come up with a reference that like, you know, oh, there's another one that had to do with geography. I don't really remember what it was. Like, Jesus fucking Christ, man.
But we have altered the maps over the years.
Yeah, nope, we have. Clearly, yeah.
We have. You will see.
All right, so is there anything you guys want to nominate this one for being the best or being the worst at?
Yeah, I'm going to go with something I wrote in my notes a lot. I'm going to go with best worst qui bono.
Right?
So the movie, yeah. It's about the Mandela effect. And one of the big theories is the simulation hypothesis, that we're all in a simulation and there's like the multiverse theory related to that. So they bring things up like that and then they describe some weird little thing that might be different that they remember wrong. And they're like, okay, so like angels and maybe demons or something like that, or aliens are doing the simulation, but why? Cut.
And yeah.
They never answer their own qui bono. They just bring it up and then they do nothing with it.
Well, and they have to bring it up like 31 times. They have to ask that question. There is one attempt to answer it deep, deep, deep in the movie. And it's so good. I can't wait to get to it. But yeah. So also, I was just going to go with best worst Mandela effects. Right, because the whole the Mandela effect thing can be kind of interesting and only kind of because there are some like collective memories where it's like, yeah, that's really weird that we would all remember it that way. But like misspellings, fucking song lyrics you heard wrong, movie quotes that you got wrong in the retelling. Are you fucking kidding? These are so infinitesimal.
Just leave out the misspellings.
And that's like 95% of them.
Yes, that's almost everything they talk about. They leave out the good ones to talk about more misspellings.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with best worst redundant title.
Thank you.
Because this movie is called The Mandela effect phenomenon.
Oh my God.
You don't need.
You guys just know what effect means, right?
Yeah. You just stop there.
Well, I think that's why they were like, fuck, that name's taken. Well, what if we called it the Mandela phenomenon? And no, people wouldn't know what we were talking about. All right,
the
all right.
The effect phenomenon shenanigans project. We're a prog rock band and a documentary.
Oh, interesting. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break to tell you about this week's sponsor, but assuming we remain on the current timeline, we'll be back in a minute with all the guys who refuse to admit they lost that bar bet about the tea in Skechers that is the Mandela effect phenomenon.
Wait, there's a tea, right? Because Skech.
Skechers.
What is happening?
Skechers.
Skechers.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, we talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard. And BetterHelp's latest research confirms it. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of them believe that getting support is wise, but 74% say society discourages people from doing so. I mean, Eli tells you to go to therapy all the time, but how often do you pass that advice along to your friends? How often do you hear it from them? How often do you hear people openly discussing the benefits of therapy? My guess is that the real answer for most of us is not enough. But BetterHelp is here to make it easier. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. Plus, BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up now and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/awful. That's better, HELP.com/awful. BetterHelp. They didn't include a tagline in the ad copy this week. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first ever Writer's Room meeting for the Mandela Effect Phenomenon.
Woo! Yeah.
Now, as you all know, the Mandela Effect is what we call it when collective memories are displaced with fake new ones implanted there by people running the universe simulation.
Universe simulation? I thought it was aliens.
Oh, aliens? I thought it was demons.
I thought it was the Jews.
Wasn't it demons?
I'll tell you what, we'll be incredibly vague and sometimes act as though these numerous contradictory answers are all correct.
That is a great idea.
Excellent. Won't be confusing at all.
So look, the plan here is just to list examples of the Mandela effect for the first half of the movie until all the sane people leave. And then we can talk about, like, you know, satanic energy drinks and all the really good stuff. So, let's just throw a few examples of the Mandela effect out there.
Oh, the missing cornucopia on the Fruit of the Loom logo?
Yeah, right? No, that's a great one that we will surprisingly never mention.
Oh.
Okay, then how about Forrest Gump saying life was like a box of chocolates, not is?
Well, yeah, but that, I don't know. Because like he was speaking in the past tense there when he was talking about it. He was talking about something his mother used to say. So I feel like people quoting the line who aren't speaking in the past tense would just naturally say is.
Oh, right. Yeah, they would just
disagree.
Okay. What about Looney Tunes not being spelled T-O-O-N-S?
Sure, but the term tunes as a short for cartoons was introduced in Roger Rabbit, which came out 58 years after Looney Tunes.
Okay, well, what about how people always misspell the Flintstones?
Yeah, but people misspell everything, though.
Oh, no, okay. I got the perfect one. So this morning, my keys were on the kitchen counter, but I always remember to put them back on the hook by the door. So it's crazy that they're on the counter.
Ooh, that one's good.
I don't think that counts.
Let me finish. My wife said she remembered me putting them there. So I'm pretty sure she's from a different dimension.
Ooh, are you sure she's not a demon?
I am not sure.
And we're back for the breakdown, and we're going to open up on a just clusterfuck of Mandela effect examples scrolling by on a grid of screens behind the credits. And what's funny is a lot of these I'd never seen before. So like I was getting excited, like there was a Kit Kat bar and I was like, oh, is there a thing with the Kit Kat bar? But they like when they finally get to them, they're also lame. It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there used to be a hyphen or no, there didn't. Okay.
It's not even that. The Coca-Cola will get there.
Yeah, no, it is. That is the Kit Kat one, but they never mentioned it specifically.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't an M dash. It was an N dash.
Yeah, right. Yes.
I think demons might be controlling stuff.
That's the whole movie. Oh my God. That's such a great summary.
The opening words of this film are, "The world's most powerful particle accelerator." And we're like, okay. God.
It comes in hot. With the Large Hadron Collider, yeah.
See, you guys got it right away, but I wrote, what did we misremember about the Large Hadron Collider? And then I was like, oh.
It used to just be the pretty big Hadron Collider.
It did a lot of stuff outside of the science part that we kind of know about. Yeah. And as soon as somebody mentions the LHC, in my experience anyway, it's like, you have 5 seconds and now you're going to hear about simulation hypothesis, mm-hmm. quantum bullshit with the word quantum all over the Heisenberg uncertainty, the Fed's a Ponzi scheme. And it's all a lie. Like this is, and they pretty much check all those boxes.
Jewish space lasers.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's where we're going. And look, here's the actual interesting thing about the Mandela effect. Chuck Klosterman points out all the Mandela effect examples, or virtually all of them, come from the same basic time, right? Mm-hmm. It's the time right before we had an internet that we could check on this shit with, right? Like, so.
Well, that's a strange coincidence.
All the Mandela effect stuff from the 1930s. Right. The people in the 1960s just argued about it in a bar. One guy was wrong. The other guy was right. And they just walked away. Now we can actually check and people have to deal with the fact that they were wrong. That's the Mandela effect. That's all it is.
Yeah, you're right. That's the whole thing. Jesus.
I don't know if we should have the internet because you can find people who are co-wrong with you.
Yeah.
And then you're like, see?
No, that's true. That's true. It did have cornucopia on it. So yeah, and there's this one presenter that we're going to see in the credits and like never again who has the one headphone hanging out and looks like he's going to sell us OxyClean.
This guy, here's the thing, you guys. Never trust a guy in a blue shirt with a yellow tie.
Okay, fair.
This is like, honestly, it's really good advice.
Okay, that's like half of Ann Arbor on game day, but like,
oh, well, right. Yeah, you got to make exceptions.
It's maize, not yellow.
But you know what?
Don't
trust those people either.
But that's fair. No, I think your rule is perfect now that I think about it a little bit more.
He goes, you know, there's no denying that something really, really crazy is going on. And I'm like, well, no, there is denying that. So, I mean, I guess that's correct whenever you're talking, but sure. But yeah, so they're explaining the examples of the Mandela effect at the very beginning here, right? We're getting a little bit of tease. And then like we get one voice clip of a guy going like, you know, what happened is the Large Hadron Collider changed the weight of a single electron or some very scientific sounding bullshit. And then another guy immediately comes afterwards and he goes, the LHC has a huge wheel. Within it is a Hindu god. And I'm like, you got to pick one or the other, man.
Yes. So the theory is that Hindu gods wanted to like jump over to the next universe or like smush a couple together and have them overlap a little bit with misspellings mostly. And so they infiltrated the physics lab in Switzerland.
Well, and you know how much Hindu gods like to sign their work, so they put a big statue out front.
Guys, you think we should have our statue right in front, or could we could just make this kind of like a, you know, like a corporate park, like real basic, just an Applebee's, nothing out of the ordinary.
So then we get our fucking pin number at the ATM machine title, right? The Mandela effect phenomenon.
Yes.
And this narrator, who luckily will not be in most of the movie because he just has a terrible voice for narration. He comes up and he's like, you know, many people misremember things. Coincidence? Yeah, probably, man.
Oh, yeah. This guy has a distinct mom's basement vocal timbre.
Yes,
like,
a hot pocket.
Yeah, the kind of guy that could say actually with 5 syllables. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Meatloaf. I want it now.
Pizza rolls.
Not the Tostinos. Now, so maybe it's because of quantum computing. That's got the word quantum in it.
I said quantum. Now I'm talking about CERN and the Hadron Collider. You have to deal with it.
Maybe this noodle will stick to the wall.
And they can't decide. Like they all, I guess, collectively decide CERN. Okay, we'll start with CERN, but then everything else just goes way off.
Demons or aliens, everybody's going in a different direction. What's amazing is there's really only two talking heads in the movie, but they managed to go in six different directions. It's crazy.
Multiple times.
Actually, a narrator tells us that, you know, in this movie, we'll reach out to top experts, and I'm like, top experts in what? Right?
Oh, yeah. I expected him to actually go to people at CERN. And I was like, oh, no, how embarrassing for these top experts.
Yeah.
But no, it's just two like YouTubers.
It's a YouTuber and a guy who's like a journalist for a local paper in Maine. That's it. Those are his top experts.
Yeah. They'll go to the experts at CERN, but at the end, and those people are going to be making fun of this movie won't realize.
Right. And it's not their footage. Yeah, exactly. But they start us off, they're like telling us about the Mandela effect. They're like, you know, a large percentage of the population believe that Nelson Mandela died in prison. And I'm like, yeah, a bunch of white people who mistook him for a different black guy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is the one thing I learned in this movie, because I had no idea why it was called the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
It should have been called the Kazam or the Shazam.
Really, honest.
Exactly. But yeah, people just remember like, somebody died in the 80s who's black, and they were like, I can name a black person, Nelson Mandela.
Well, right. So Nelson Mandela was in prison for 27 years, and so many of the other South African freedom fighters that were associated with him did die in prison. It's like, it's such a non-thing, right? And it was some kind of like a supernaturalist person who coined the phrase in the first place, right? That thought this was in need of explanation.
Yeah, she's a ghost hunter. It's Fiona Broom.
Okay, yeah.
Her job is ghost hunter.
Yeah. Amazing.
So the guy goes, the narrator goes, you know, a lot of people watch YouTube videos about this, right? So it must be true. Billions of people.
Yeah. So they described the Mandela effect. And I actually thought to myself, okay, now I can't remember if I remembered Mandela dying in prison or if I just remembered the description of the Mandela
effect. Right, but you remember people remembering
and I like
that,
conflated
that.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit, it's the perfect crime.
So now we're going to meet both of our experts. We're going to start with Mark LaFlemme.
He pronounces it LaFlemme.
LaFlemme. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's a journalist for this, like I said, a local paper in Maine, which is exceptional only that in that there is a local paper in Maine, right?
In Lewiston, Maine, home of Bates University, right?
Oh, okay.
That's a real place.
Also, he spells his name for us, and I'm like, it's on the Chiron, man. Why are you spelling it for us?
I think they're trying to do that thing where they're like, I'm an edgy filmmaker, and I'm going to include their slate.
Oh,
in
okay.
The film.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay.
But they only have one camera, so the whole time when they want to do a hard cut, they just reverse the shot.
Yes.
They like mirror image the shot.
Like a parallel universe.
Yeah, right. Well, that's how he introduces his first experience with the Mandela effect, right? There was a photo when he was a kid and he could have sworn that he was on the right and his brother was on the left. But then one day he looked at it and he was on the left and his brother was on the right. The only explanation is parallel universes.
If you start your little story and you're like, okay, so there's a photo at my mom's house. I stop listening. I'm not listening to whatever you're about to do. But yeah, he mixed up left and right. That's what happened.
We all wrote that. Yeah,
yes.
He literally mixed up left and right. Therefore, evil quantum physics.
Yes. Either I remembered something wrong or the very fabric of reality has been rent in twain. I went with the latter.
Or, and this is my favorite theory, this is an amazing prank by his mom. Because she was like, my idiot fucking son thinks they're like there's like a rift in the space-time continuum. I'm going to just switch left and right on this. It's going to be really easy.
Oh, that's awesome. So we meet Mark, and then we also meet Jacob Israel, who also spells his name to us. Yeah, because I guess of the edgy filmmaking. Mm-hmm.
He spells it out, and then he's like, currently, I'm an author. And I was like, currently? It's a tenuous author thing.
Yes,
you got going.
I won't be an author soon. He goes, I also have a YouTube channel and a website. And I'm like, man, you sound like me trying to get a loan in a sketch.
I'm currently a netizen. I have a site.
Yes, right. So we get his introduction to the Mandela effect. And this is maybe the dumbest of all of them to me. I mean, we're going to get a bunch of them. So maybe another one gets dumber and I don't remember it.
Yeah, but this is, they're like, let's take the dumbest one and it'll be our big opener.
Right. Right. And what the listener at home is like, okay, you just told me a kid misremembered a childhood photograph and you're telling me this one is dumber. It is. He misremembered where the hyphen in the Coca-Cola logo was. He thought it used to be lower.
Yeah.
Oh, it's worse than that. He literally was like, I remember it was a hyphen, but it's actually more of a dot.
Yes.
He's like, yeah, it was like 1 millimeter smaller than I remember it being. Yeah.
We get visual aids of him being like, was it a hyphen up here? Or maybe it was that like tilde thing, but like the tilde in the middle. Maybe it was Coca-Circa-Cola. I think it might be Coca-Circa-Cola. Well,
but that's the thing is that he can't even tell us what he remembers, right? Because he's like, I remembered it being a hyphen, or maybe it was a wavy line. And I'm like, well, then clearly you don't remember it so goddamn well that we need to invoke parallel universes to explain why you've got it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. This was his big entree into the Mandela effect.
This was
yeah.
the inciting incident for his career.
Yes.
Was like, tilde?
He goes, everyone my age remembers it different. And I'm like, I'm your age.
So I really jumped the gun on this one, too, because I wrote in my notes, this is way too early for me to have written this, by the way. Oh, my God, you guys, can you imagine if we were doing like a live show and this guy came up to us and tried to tell us our theory? Like, cornered us. It's like my worst nightmare. Uh-huh. But then it just gets so much worse yeah. throughout the movie.
Right, exactly. So then we go to, and this is one that often gets used as a Mandela effect example. And I think it's a bad one. The Berenstain Bears one. Berenstain.
Yeah.
Right. And the reason that people misremember how that's spelled is because normally the end of the name is S-T-E-I-N, not S-T-A-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
They were ethnically Jewish bears. I'm certain of it.
Also, like when you were little and you were still learning how to read.
Yes.
Your parents would read to you. And you probably just heard Berenstain Bears or Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
Because nobody would say Berenstain Bears.
Right, exactly. Right. Well, and then they introduced this concept of what they call residual evidence, what I call other people also being wrong. Yeah. Right? He goes, look at this. No lesser journalistic source than the TV Guide has it listed as Berenstain Bears. Do you think the TV Guide made an error once?
Yeah. And we see like a close-up of a TV guide
mm-hmm.
printed. And in print, an E, especially a lowercase E, can look like a lowercase A if the ink goes over a little bit. They're very similar. And I'm actually looking at like Jackson 5 and Gat Smart and yeah. Spider-Man in this TV guide.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that. That's amazing. He goes, at this point, he goes, you know, look, I have no personal involvement with the Berenstain Bears. And I'm like... Did someone accuse you of inappropriately touching a bear, man? What are you talking about? But that's so he can lead into, he's like, but when I was a kid, I loved Mr. Rogers. And this is another common example, right? Mr. Rogers' song is, it's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, not the neighborhood. And everybody misremembers it, right? Because the neighborhood just makes more logical sense, I think.
And it makes him... so mad. And this, so is, this is like the beginning of a series.
Yes.
Of Mark LaFlumme going off on like a tangent about how like it just like musically makes more sense if he says the, not the. He like mansplains multiple times through this movie how the original writers should have written things for his taste.
Yeah. Everybody's got these crazy uncrossable lines. And this is his. This is his. It's Mr. Rogers and the lyrics. And he goes so hard on it. He's like, listen, if it said this neighborhood, that's actually offensive. Mr. Rogers loves all neighborhoods. He's not a racist. And like, that's his crazy uncrossable line. That's his inciting incident.
No, what's so funny is that every time he does this, and like Kara said, he does this over and over again, right? He'll be like, lyrically and musically and logically, this is just more sensible. But he's just explaining why everyone misremembers it.
Exactly.
Right? Yes, it actually is lyrically better to say the neighborhood, and that's why we all sing it wrong. Yeah.
It's amazing. Just like the idea of kind of a lazy schwa is causing this entire yes. movement to think there's yes. dimensional rifts. It's the best.
And I love these two manly men trying to convince us that they actually don't care about sissy shit like Berenstain Bears and Mr. Rogers. It's just that that's the example, okay? And then we get another just horrendously stupid example. The line in Forrest Gump is not, you know, Mama said life is like a box of chocolates. It's Mama said life was like a box of chocolates. And we're going to spend about 30 minutes on that. Right?
Yeah.
And I love that every time they ping back and forth between the two, quote, experts in this movie, he leaves in, because they don't really know how to edit, he leaves in where they go like, eh, that doesn't bother me that much. The thing that really bothers me.
Can you start again then? Can you just start again?
Just like arguing with each other about what trivial bullshit matters more. Wait,
if life used to be chocolates, that changes everything. Well, okay. It doesn't make sense.
So at one point he says, you know, maybe they, and we're going to get to they eventually. We have like 10 minutes left in the movie. He's like, maybe they did that on purpose as a little hint, because life used to be like a box of chocolates. You know, Now they've changed it to was, because it's no longer like a box of chocolates, because they're determining how reality goes now.
I just...
Are people not looking at the flavor maps in their boxes of chocolates?
Thank you.
That's crazy to me.
You might just suddenly get coconut and not be prepared for that.
Yeah, you gotta know that shit going in.
Brutal.
He goes, yeah, no, that really blew my mind. I'm like, you guys have really volatile brains, though. Everything is blowing them, okay?
And we didn't even talk about, they spent a really long time talking about sex and the city.
Yes.
As opposed to sex in the city, which is incorrect. And it's like, this whole movie is about misremembering and.
Yep.
Yes.
Or in.
Sure.
Right.
Is.
Well, they have, right before the Sex and the City thing, he talks about how he remembers his interview with a vampire, not interview with the vampire. And that was because the TH at the end of with would subsume the TH at the beginning of E anyway. So you'd pronounce it the same either way, right? Interview with the vampire, interview with the vampire. It's the same fucking thing.
Well, that's all of them.
It doesn't
make
sense with a definite article.
But that's literally all of them.
It's, yes,
Sex
everything
in the City.
They talk
it
about.
Sounds yep. the same. Sex in the City. Sex in the City.
Yes.
Like Oscar Mayer, which we'll get to. OSC. And the little girl is like, my baloney has a first name. You know, she sings the song, the OSCAR. My baloney has a second name. It's MLYER. Like she just says, ugh.
Yeah.
Right.
You can hear it either way.
Oh, so yeah. So he drums up all of this Sex in the City merchandise that has sex in the city written on it. I'm like, oh yeah, no. So either a Taiwanese factory made a mug for a show they've never seen in a language they don't speak wrong, or we shifted into a parallel universe.
Or aliens are red teaming their own simulation to check on the OPSEC of their simulations conceptually. And that's what's happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I buy it.
Or my mom is pranking me.
Oh, God. We get a few more, like the Ford logo. He talks about how the lower line on the Ford logo is curly. And he's pretty sure it didn't used to be that way. I grew up in Detroit. It was always that fucking way. Okay. We got the Oscar Mayer and Meyer thing.
They're both pronounced Meyer.
Right.
It's an A or E. It's still Oscar Mayer.
Exactly. And then we get the, you know, he comes in and he's like, you know, well, BuzzFeed had that one written as Meyer. Like, are you saying that a source as profoundly respected as BuzzFeed got something wrong as well? And then we get the first, I think the first good one that they give us in this movie, which is the Moonraker scene where the girl didn't have braces.
Is it good? Because they spent a long time on this. I've never seen that movie. I've never heard of this. I don't care.
I could have sworn that girl had braces.
I was like, pretty sure she had braces.
Yeah, that one fucked
I was like,
me right
all right,
up.
Movie. All right, movie.
But again, it's the same thing though that Kara was talking about, right? Because the scene makes more sense if she has braces, right? The scene as it stands doesn't really make any sense. It's just kind of she's a girl, he's a guy, and we have to write these characters out. If she has braces, it's a better scene. And so people retrofit that into it, right?
That's the thing. There's so many, like as a psychologist, I hate to like even evoke that, but like I have to admit, this is one of the most painful movies you guys have made me watch. Maybe second to like the Scientology one that was anti-psychiatry. That
yeah,
was pretty
yeah,
brutal
was pretty
too.
Bad, yeah.
But the whole time I'm like, there's an explanation for that.
Right.
It's like, you don't have to go to aliens. Like they do the silver leg, right? The Star Wars thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they talk about how it's 3CPO, right? Am I mixing them up?
C-3PO, but yeah.
C-3PO.
Jesus Wait, I think
Christ.
It is 3CPO.
See, right there. I just did a Mandela.
He's just Mandela.
C-3PO,
I'm pretty
whatever.
Sure it's 3CPO.
Talk about
that is what my wife says.
We are in a fight.
I don't care. One of his legs is silver.
Yes.
And they literally show a guy who like worked on the movie being like, oh.
The guy who played C-3PO, yeah.
Oh, the guy who played. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, it looks gold most of the time because like the sun shining or like, it's a mirror.
And it's reflecting the gold.
Yeah, it's reflecting the gold one next
to,
yeah.
It's next to the rest of his body's gold and it's silver and it's a mirror and it's just reflecting what's next to it. So you don't notice it.
Yeah. Well, and that look, if you were a pedantic Star Wars fan, like in the 80s and 90s, you grew up your whole goddamn life explaining to people that, no, it's not Luke, I am your father, and so and C-3PO had a silver fucking leg, right? Jesus Christ. That was the first well actually I ever pulled off.
Oh, yep. They also, they get really upset about how in, what movie is it?
Apollo 13.
Yeah, Apollo 13. Houston, we've had a problem. Instead of, we have a problem.
Right.
And it's like, okay. And Neil Armstrong claims that he said that's one small step for a man.
Yeah. And it got cut up.
Right.
But the thing on the fucking, on the Apollo 13 thing is that he says both, right? He says, Houston, we've had a problem. And then they say again. And he says, Houston, we have a problem. So yeah.
It got double switched. That is smart mixed strategy right. by the aliens well, okay, or the so demons.
He actually makes
cover
that
their
claim.
Tracks.
Because BuzzFeed, that's the thing that BuzzFeed had wrong, right? Was the Apollo 13 quote. And he makes the argument. He's like, see, this is an example where they made the change and then they went back and changed it back. And I'm like, okay, but that doesn't make sense with any of the theories that you're going to propose later about how CERN accidentally changed the universe, right?
It does not. It does not. I did enjoy that Jacob Israel kind of gives away the game for a second here by accident. He's like, yeah, so it's just kind of just like a party trick I like to do. I'll bring up one of these things and people talk about it. And I was like, yeah, that's all this is. This is just like a fun thing to talk about at parties because people remember stuff differently. I used to do this a lot, but then there was like, a little too much violence. There was a couple of times it just got out of hand. So I paired it back.
I will rip fucking Curious George's tail off his ass and beat you to death with it if you say, yeah. No, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Is a hot dog a sandwich too much violence as well?
No, yeah. I can't with that. But they give the game away multiple times because not only does he do that, but he's like, you know, you don't want to like push too hard because then people will think you're crazy.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, if I don't cut their experts off mid-rant, I'm never going to get a break. So we're basically going to go mid-sentence here, but we'll be back in a flash with even more of the Mandela Effect phenomenon.
Life is like a box of chocolates, right?
You know, actually, it's life was like a box of chocolates.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Weird. I mean, I could swear he said is, but anyway, you voting for Kamala?
No, I'm going to sit this one out. Politicians are all the same.
Yeah, me too. Sitting it out.
Fuck. This is ridiculous. Nothing is working.
Hey, Markler, what's wrong?
Yeah, so I ran another simulation and they keep electing and then re-electing Donald Trump.
Seriously? So what did you change?
I tried a bunch of different stuff. I did spelling changes. I did a new peanut butter name. I did some altering of movie quotes, like big ones.
Well, I don't know. That all feels pretty low level. Maybe do something bigger.
So here's another one I did. I literally resurrected Nelson Mandela. Still no help.
Wow. Okay, well, what if you just have him get shot?
I tried that so many times. He just, like, he won't die. He's twitchy. One missed him. Recently, our guy just, like, fell on his face. It was crazy.
Crazy.
Hey, team. How's the simulation going?
Yeah, we've been trying all these timelines, and Trump gets reelected no matter what.
All right. Well, that's the convergence. Looks like we nailed it.
Wow. Oh, so that was the plan?
Yep. Yep. Oh. I didn't tell you because I wanted to really test it. So, lunch?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Sounds Let's good, yeah.
Hey, have you guys seen Shazam?
With Sinbad as the genie?
Yes, I love that
the
movie.
The best.
And we're back for more of this shit. And we're going to rejoin the action with some people misremembering the entire fucking point of Field of Dreams.
Yes! Oh my God!
Like, okay, so people remember Build It, They Will Come. It's Build It, He Will Come. The whole fucking movie is him trying to figure out who the he is.
Yeah, if you build it, he will come. He is like his dead father, right?
Right? Like he wants to do the show through the whole thing, and then at the end, it turns out to be his dad, and that's the emotional payoff of the whole fucking movie. It's like them. Yeah. It's like them being like, I don't remember fucking Darth Vader being Luke's dad. Hold on a second. What the fuck are you talking about?
It's a ghost of a baseball player who says that, right? So like the ghost baseball players are already there. They already came, and now it's talking about dad.
So yeah, and then as if that's not dumb enough, we get the Jaws. It's not. We're gonna need a bigger boat. It's you're gonna need a bigger boat.
I didn't even notice that one.
Well, it's one of those things where, like in the movie, he's obviously it's not their boat, so he's talking to a guy. But then when we reference that to other people in our lives.
Yeah.
Right. We just say we're going to need a bigger boat because we're not actually talking to a man with a boat.
It's a metaphor. See, there's this thing. It's like an analogy. Like,
everybody is so fucking bad at remembering things. Why is this shocking to anybody?
Yes. Ask anybody what happened the day before yesterday.
Everybody's terrible.
And like we not only do we know that everybody is bad at remembering things, but it goes deeper than that. It's hard to hear ambiguous stimuli. Like, I think that, like, this movie shouldn't be the Mandela effect. It should be the McGurk effect.
Yeah.
Like, the you can't see, literally, you can't see Darth Vader's mouth. So he's going, I am a father. Like, he's saying no.
It garbles the noise.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't know without fucking subtitles.
Right.
Yeah. And they're all so close, especially the misspelling ones and like the Jaws one.
Yeah, and Sex in the City. It's the same. It sounds the same.
Right. It's never like, I remember the fucking song. It was Oscar Mayer is a guy with B-O-L-O-N-E-Y. Like, no, it's never like way different. It's just like slight sound differences. So it's obviously not profound.
Should be that.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. There's down to the point, this is how silly they get. They're talking about the Star Wars, Luke, I am your father, no, I am your father thing. And they show the actual footage from the movie and they label it as official version. Yeah.
And then this is another example of, what's his name? LaFlum, whatever, yeah. Mark. Going like, it's just bad writing, you guys.
Yes.
Like, if I had written this.
It makes more sense for him to say Luke. I mean, and it's like, no, because he's already said Luke just recently. And if you watch it, it actually makes a lot more sense. And people.
Yeah, they're going back and forth.
Right. It's you don't generally remind the person you're talking to who they are repeatedly in the conversation.
like Vader read an MBA book and
use their name a lot. Remind them that you paid for the dinner. Yeah.
Because I know who you are.
Right.
You're my son.
So, well, and also there's a point here where he really gives away the game, right? Because the reality of it is he wasn't really a Star Wars fan growing up. So he just, you know, he had heard the line more often referenced from people who were misquoting it than he heard it from the movie, right?
Right.
I was a Star Wars fan growing up, so I watched that movie 35,000 fucking times. I've heard it more from Darth Vader. So it's no big deal to me. And he gives away the game when he says, you know, that's what people say when they're quoting the movie. That's what they say when kids are out playing, like pretending that they're stormtroopers and such.
He said that?
Yeah.
I didn't get
no
that.
No fucking Star Wars kid ever pretended to be a goddamn stormtrooper. You
I call
fucking
stormtrooper.
Nazi.
Oh, I got shot. Right. I guess I'm out of the game as a child for the rest of the day. Fuck. Why do I always pick stormtrooper?
But yeah, this is when we finally get, Jacob finally gets to the cui bono question, right? He's like,
oh, really?
Yeah. He doesn't answer it.
Oh, okay. He just gets to the question. Got it. Okay.
Just the question. He's like, yeah, perhaps there's a sinister plan perpetrated by they. And literally, it's just they. And there's no answer to his question or his like musing about what that sinister plan might be or why.
Yeah, he goes, it's an experiment to see if they can change how we remember things. And I'm like,
oh, that's right.
Oh, so it's a test to see if they can do the thing that the test does. I mean, like that's, you haven't gotten there, man. You still
hey,
need
aliens
a-
simulating me. I'm winning, right? I nailed your test, huh?
Also, like there are a lot of these tests. They're all in the psychological literature.
Sure.
And they're on undergrads. Right. And the answer is people remember shit wrong.
And it's just always bad memory.
Yes. Yeah. You can just make people remember all kind of weird shit with like the one about the with the people remembering getting lost in a grocery store as a kid when it didn't fucking happen just because you talked your mom into pretending along with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone has those. Remembering that one Christmas when you were two and you opened up that gift and it was a doll. You don't fucking remember that. You saw a whole movie of it.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You don't remember things when you're two.
That's impossible. You know how brains God work. Damn it. God damn it.
It's not technically impossible, but it's really weird. I also love that at this point, it's like now we're on to the examples just being repeated.
Yeah.
Because they've run out. So they're just talking about their talking. And I wrote in my notes at this point, like, I am so impressed by how you guys broke this movie into, quote, scenes. I was like, it just goes.
Yeah, no, I wrote apologies in the scene breaks going like, guys, this is mid-sentence, but I have to put the break here somewhere. It's so... Well, so, okay, but this is the part of the movie where they start making with the proof, right? So they've got, again, they call it residual evidence. What it is just other people having gotten it wrong, right? So they show like scenes where James Earl Jones misquotes himself and says, Luke, I am your father, like in an interview or in a joke or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, this one doesn't even make sense. James Earl Jones died in like 1986. I don't even know where they got this video.
He was in that movie about genies, right?
But the whole thing is great. They do a montage of imitations of movies getting the line wrong.
Yeah.
And then they're like, how are we all getting it wrong?
Right, right.
Do you think it's these clips by any chance that you're showing me right now?
Well, he says, you know, James Earl Jones insists that the line he says was this. And then they just show him in an interview where he references it. I'm like, he's not insisting. He's just remembering it wrong like the rest of us do. The other one is a clip from fucking The Big Bang Theory where the writer of The Big Bang Theory has written the line for him. Jesus.
Yeah. These guys don't know how memory works, I think, is the problem.
Yeah, right.
They don't understand. They believe that the first time you see something, it's just locked in.
Right. You have taken a videotape of it and you can access that later in your head. Yeah.
I did put my keys there. It's crazy.
He goes, you know, I'm a big 2.5 Men fan myself. And I'm like, of course you are.
Yeah.
And
you don't have to say all your thoughts, man. You can you just start talking about that show. You don't have to tell us.
We know.
Right. You don't have to.
It's like we can. Yeah.
And then, okay, we get my favorite example of them just not bothering to look up their shit, right? Because the one guy goes like, well, you know, there are some geographic Mandela effects that I'm aware of, right? Like a lot of people insist that Australia used to be in a different part of the map. Some say it's New Zealand. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Are you telling me that Americans don't know geography very well? That's going to be a parallel universe thing right there.
No, definitely not. I'm pretty sure CERN moved New Zealand, okay? That is a way more reasonable
explanation. Well, that's why it's a new continent now. They just gave it a whole new continent.
Okay, this one had a cui bono. They don't hit it, but like, I was expecting a flat earth thing to happen right after this.
Oh, okay.
Like, cui bono, aliens in lava tubes who are also Nazis hiding the flat earth.
Oh, there you
obviously.
Go.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't bring up Pluto. Like, I feel like this movie is so bad. That would have been an example.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like,
remember Pluto?
Planet.
It was a planet.
I swear it was.
Yeah.
Well, and then
they changed it on us.
They do the Tiananmen Square thing, right?
I didn't know about this one either.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Right. So there was like a famous memory test I remember seeing a lot online years ago where they had doctored a photo to put a big crowd next to the kid, the guy standing in front of the tank or whatever. And people, like when they were shown the photograph, they couldn't remember. You know, they didn't remember that he was alone. They thought that there was a crowd there.
Right. So like more evidence for the fact that the Mandela effect is just bad memories.
Just bad memory, right. And so I expected it was going to be something related to that. But no, apparently there are people who insist they remember watching that guy got run over by the tank. And I'm like, okay, that's stupid for a couple of reasons, but not the least of which is they wouldn't show that on TV.
Yeah.
Right. Also, so that one that was doctored to have the crowd next to him, if you remember the video, which I did, this detail anyway, because it was really funny, the tank tried to juke the guy at one point.
Yes.
And it's a, but it's a tank. So you can't really like PlayStation juke a guy with a tank.
No, if I go left and then cut right, he won't.
And he was like, huh? Are we dancing? And they were like, fuck. All right. Definitely didn't run him over. I'm guessing
that dude
people
was
just
so
heard
badass.
People hear Tiananmen Square Massacre. Sometimes it's called that, I guess. And people just like, you know, confabulated a tank smush in there.
Well, yeah. And then again, I think there's a little bit of racism there where they just think, oh, like that was a thing in China. I bet they ran the guy over. Right.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
So and then they get another just spectacularly stupid example, the Snow White Mandela effect. Right. In the cartoon, she does not say mirror, mirror on the wall. She says magic mirror on the wall.
Yeah, but you know what this is then? Like, and I didn't know this until my partner told me. He was like, yeah, but it's mirror, mirror in the book.
In the fairy tale, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, so kids just remember being read the book.
Spiegelin, Spiegelin, Undervand, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was mad about this one. I was like, no, it's fucking mirror, mirror. Good.
It is.
Okay,
it is. The Disney cartoon got it wrong. So they show all of these people referencing it correctly, saying mirror, mirror on the wall. And they're like, how do all of these people remember it differently than the Disney cartoon? And I'm like, do you guys think that Walt Disney wrote the fairy tales? Snow
exactly.
White.
Well, that's they think that
very,
a lot.
Very
in this
likely.
Movie.
That's it. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys notice the background music? Like the music bed at this point became my telltale heart, and it wouldn't go away for the rest of the
film.
Oh,
really?
Yes. I did not notice that.
They picked. Yeah, they picked one like piece of music that's. I mean, it can't be longer than 20 seconds long, and they just looped it.
Oh
for
no.
The whole
I didn't notice that. I'm so glad I didn't notice that. I would have ripped my fucking hair out.
It was so bad.
Oh. So yeah, then they point out that some people didn't notice that they misspelled the fruit in Fruit Loops.
Okay.
They spell it with Fruit Loops. How the fuck did you not notice that? And then we have that big thing where like he swears that there used to be a brand of peanut butter called Jiffy. Yeah. But it's actually Jif.
It's always been Jif.
Kara calls it Gif, actually. Kara calls it Gif peanut butter.
Giffy, even. Yeah. Well,
and then, she calls it a gay pedge file as an image.
It's a fucking Jif.
So
the peanut butter and the file are Jifs. Different spellings. They're homophones.
So then we... So
we're not going to call you a joctor unless you get Gif right. Do your patients know about the Gif thing?
Oh, interesting.
I don't know, actually.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah, don't tell them. There are a couple of spots in here where they'll drop to like a YouTube video, like a clip from a YouTube video that a friend of theirs made, right? This is where we check in with Moneybags 73.
Really?
Yeah. So Moneybags 73, he did an experiment to find out about this Jiffy peanut butter once and for all, because apparently there are some restaurants that serve a Jiffy burger, which is a peanut butter, or like a hamburger with peanut butter on it.
That's fucking disgusting, by the
way.
That
sounds pretty fucking gross.
That is not okay.
Yeah, we all agree that would be gross. None of us had that yesterday, for sure. Well, yeah.
Research. This is research.
Weird.
But he's like, you know, but I called all these restaurants that have the Jiffy burger and I asked what kind of peanut butter they said and they use, and they said Jiffy peanut butter. And I'm like, right, because multiple people misremember. That's the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And also it's like all of this stuff, and he even says it, like they give it away so many times. But he literally says like, well, I'm less affected by the like geography stuff and the whatever stuff. But like what really gets me are all these like capitalist logo.
Yes, the movie quotes.
Yeah, and movie quotes. And it's like, there was Jiffy Pop popcorn.
Yes. Right. It was so so easy to misremember that shit if you're not the one buying the fucking peanut butter. Yeah.
That's so true.
Also, the thing on the phone is nothing. Restaurant employees just want the conversation to be over.
Yes.
So they can go do the rest of their fucking job.
Oh, so Heath, my note here was, oh my God, Heath, you've worked in restaurants. Can you imagine some asshole calling about this? What kind of peanut butter do you use? Oh, I use fuck you. I the shit that I put in my asshole for my dog to lick out. That's what I use.
Is
fuck
this Mark LaFlamme
you.
Again? No, you're not allowed to order here.
He goes, Jacob Israel goes, you know, I've always had an avid fascination with the JFK assassination. And I'm like, you don't say.
Yeah. Oh, we all did that. Oh, so this guy's a conspiracy. Okay. Yep. That's
okay. But changing the details of the JFK assassination makes perfect sense. The movie got me. I was like, the cui bono tracks here.
But wouldn't they change the details where like he didn't die?
You would think. Or where like, you know, the he didn't go back into the left or something, you know?
But what was his thing that there was an extra seat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So first of all, he immediately talks, he points out how full of shit he is, right? Because he goes, you know, I've watched all of the videos of the assassination over and over. There's one video. Right? There's the Zapruder film. That's the only fucking piece of footage that you can get. That's what you watch. He's like, so I watched this, and then he calls that the Zapruder films, right? And he's like, I watched that over and over again, and I always thought there were only four people in the car, but there were actually six. And I'm like, right, because having three rows of seats is such an unusual thing in a car, and it's kind of grainy footage, and so, like, unless you're looking for that, you wouldn't notice it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're watching the president get shot.
Yeah, exactly. And no, you're not going to see the gorilla playing the fucking basketball. Yes. Like, come on, dude. You're trying to count the number of passes. Right.
Jesus. Wait,
doesn't he claim that there's a museum that has it wrong?
Yes.
That has like,
yes.
Okay. But there's a museum that has it right. It's in Michigan and it has the original fucking 1961 made car. At the time of the thing with the correct amount of rows in it.
And like, clearly it would be really expensive to get a replica of that weird ass car. It'd be way cheaper to just get that model without the extended whatever and shit. And he's like, but they've got this museum and they show us the museum. Okay. And they've got their wrong car. And then they've got a Jackie Kennedy and a JFK doll in them. And they're horrifying.
They are, yeah.
I'm like, you know, this doesn't strike me as the type of museum that works hard to get shit right. Like, for example, there's no driver. Right? Like, they're clearly not trying to recreate the exact moment or anything.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they were taking a Waymo through Dallas at that moment.
I love that his evidence is a recreation and not say, you know, he's like, I've watched all the films, which there is only one film and I've watched them so many times. It's like, well, did you look at all the photos?
Right.
There's a lot of those.
Yep. Yeah, sure are.
A lot of photos.
Oh.
And there's a lot of people in that car in every photo.
Yep. And JFK, and their JFK in that museum, by the way, looked just like Sean Spicer, which weirded me right the fuck out.
Jim Mars, the guy who wrote that conspiracy book, wouldn't even agree with this dumb take. Not even in that.
Right. Yeah. He goes, you know, that's in an esteemed museum. I'm like, that does not look like an esteemed museum, sir. And then we get, oh God, then we get everybody misremembering Sally Field's name,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's Sally Field and people think it's Sally Fields.
Yeah, and Noah just said it with an S, but he was doing it as a possessive.
Plural. Right,
yeah,
so which exactly. is how you
accuse
yeah.
anybody.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And again, they're showing us what they're calling residual evidence in the form of like newspaper advertisements that got her name wrong.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, oh, poorly compensated newspaper typesetters got it wrong in the 1970s. The hell you say, right?
Yeah. They show her on Jimmy Kimmel and he's like, doesn't it make you crazy that everybody calls you Sally Fields? And she's like, no.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, people get it wrong.
People get like a single letter wrong sometimes. Plurals are tough for a lot of people. Nobody uses phenomena correctly pretty much ever.
Right. Or affect, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Affect, affect. Yeah. Or nauseous. You know that one.
Yep. Absolutely.
People call me Sarah Cantamaria a lot.
Yeah.
Because right. it just, yeah, it's what your brain does.
Right. Like my real name is not Lusions and my real name is like one letter off of a really common name. And so my entire fucking life, people have gotten my name wrong. It's just one of those things that you get used to. Yeah. So then fucking Moneybag 73 shows up to update us on, I think probably the best example of the Mandela effect, which is the Shazam, Sinbad, Genie movie.
Well, this isn't the Mandela effect. This one's a real one. The movie just got this one right for a second. I've seen both of these movies in the theater when I was a kid in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
I saw Shazam with Sinbad as a genie. I've seen Kazam with Shaquille O'Neal as a genie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Heath, you are racist then is what you're saying. that's just a full... You're just, okay, just making sure. So, he said it, guys. I didn't say it. He said it.
What's amazing is that when the front cover of the Kazam has Shaq, Kazam, like, so obviously that you're just conflating Shazam and forgetting which African-American person it was in the movie. But yeah, but it's one of those things that like clearly freaks a lot of people out. Like I said, I have no memory of Shazam. I also have no memory of Kazam either. I
Me
guess,
too. But- I don't remember either of them.
Okay, like truly, I'm like joking a little bit, but not really. I'm furious about this one. I'm like,
yeah, I know.
A decent know. Percentage, like a high level percentage convinced that something's going on with this one in the dimensions.
Well, I think I remember, and I might be misremembering this, but I believe that there was like some TV show at some point where Sinbad did play a genie, and that was like there was a commercial that showed that clip of that show quite a bit or something like that, that people also saw.
Let's see.
That may or may not have come out near the same time. So
fuck, that's very likely to be why.
Not in a full-length movie. Yes, he hosted a movie marathon on TNT dressed in a turban and a vest.
Yeah, there you go. And so people saw clips of that and they were advertising that he was going to do that. And I believe it was, you know, within a couple of years of the same time.
It was
time,
2 years before Kazam.
Okay, yeah. So it was, yeah, right.
So it was the primed one. Yeah, yeah. That's interesting.
Fuck, I definitely watched that. Okay.
So,
okay.
But then he like... he starts... Now, this is the point where they're going to start trying to give us a scientific explanation, right? This is where we're going to bring the LHC back into things.
Oh, God.
They explain that the LHC, you know, like... A lot of physicists were worried that they would create a black hole and destroy the universe when they made the LHC. And I'm like, I don't think a lot of physicists were worried about that.
No, I mean, there was conversation about that, but that has nothing to do with anything he's talking
about. Well, right, but we can all agree that no physicists were worried that, like, the names of children's literature and movie quotes would change.
No,
right?
No, didn't hear a lot about that.
Exactly.
He says something like, he's like, okay, well, this all lines up with fucking sciences
yes,
of today.
This
is not far-fetched. And he said that, and I was like, okay, 1 minute max before he says the word quantum again and gets something with quantum in there.
Yep.
And this is so crazy. Literally 60 Christian seconds later in the movie, he says the word quantum after I wrote that.
He goes, I looked into string theory and quantum physics and I'm like, I want video, man, of you looking into string theory. And because what he means is I watched YouTube videos, right, that use those words, but yeah.
I feel like they can't decide either because, you know, like most documentaries like this, they just throw the words around.
Yes.
They say multiverse, they say simulation, they say quantum, they say, but they can't decide, was this an accident or was this intentional?
Right. Yeah. Was it directed? Are they leaving us clues or right?
Like at one point, like he literally tells on himself. He's like, I feel like they were asking, you know, the great they, if we tweak things a little bit, how will people deal with that? And I'm like, again, that's just the whole phenomenon.
Right.
Is people yeah, looking right. back. Yeah, exactly. Like, wait until he hears about propaganda. Like, this guy's yeah. mind is going to be blown.
Wait,
know?
Are they like just saying lies sometimes on the internet?
He goes, you know, there's a lot of science that backs this up. And I'm like, there's not, though.
Yeah, no, I don't think he knows what science means.
Right.
I think he needs, like, I want to show this movie to a quantum physicist and just watch her roll her eyes. You know, just be like, oh God, it's so embarrassing how earnest this guy is.
No, he's about to explain your PhD to you. Hold on. Yeah.
Hey, did he say that time travel is heavily funded?
He did.
I feel like you wouldn't. Okay, it's fine.
Well,
it's
okay.
Fine.
So when I wrote that in my notes as well, Heath, and my thought on it is like, oh my God, he got talked into investing a lot of money in time travel, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's why he's making this movie, to recoup the money he lost on his time machine.
Well,
investment.
I feel like somebody was like, time travel shares at a presentation. Yeah. I feel like,
hey, look, man, if you decide you didn't want to do it, you can go back in time and tell yourself not to do it. And you haven't done that, have you? So,
yeah. Also, no matter how much money you put in, if we get time travel going, that's infinite money. So, like, you can't lose if you think about it. And he did invest.
Yep. Yeah. He goes, you know, like it's like in VR. Like in VR, you're in your living room, you know, when you have the headset on, but you're also in another dimension. And I'm like, you're not, though. You're just in your living room.
Yeah. They say that about sleep, too. Like when you're asleep, it's like an alternate dimension.
It's like,
and
no,
it's, like,
it's
no.
just sleep.
Anybody just looking at you is just like, that dude's asleep.
Still. Time and space. Yeah. He's talking about the multiverse theory here a little bit and simulation theory.
Mm-hmm.
All I could think of was like, okay, Loki needs to do another season and Loki fights Sinbad as a genie. Because that would be such a funny little nod.
Okay, that would be really...
They don't address in the first two seasons anything with Mandela Effect. I thought they could have done a little Easter egg here or there.
I love it. I love it.
Do it for season three.
So yeah, and then he, so he explains the his he, well he explains he says a bunch of science words regarding the multiverse theory and the simulation theory, and then he goes, you know, that just makes the most sense to me. And I'm like, more than demonstrably imperfect memories are imperfect, huh? The fucking yep. the simulation hypothesis. Okay.
Yep.
So then Mark, that's Jacob. Then Mark decides he's going to sound off on the causes as well, and he starts off by going, well, you know, string theory supports some of this stuff. And I'm like, it really doesn't, man.
Yeah, I'm like, tell me what you know about string theory,
yes,
Mark.
Please.
Define string theory, Mark. I'll wait.
Name any true fact that a string theorist would agree with that regards string theory.
Okay, it's going to be really funny, though, if we crack string theory physics using like Shazam and peanut butter experiments.
Someone has published that paper, I hope. No, I like here that Mark kind of admits to himself that he's not smart enough to understand any of this stuff. Yeah. He's like, I don't know, some scientists know stuff. I couldn't tell you though.
Right.
Really.
Okay, this grand narrative is confusing to me. So the overlords in a simulation scenario, right? They could change whatever they want. What are they learning by isolating like GIF universe against Jiffy universe?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Why are they spending, again, you know, tokens on that?
The thing is that none of their like, you know, none of their explanations incorporates all of their examples, right? They have no theory of the case here.
They talk a lot about Hawking and Einstein mm-hmm. and all of these different physicists looking for a grand unified theory, but they don't have a grand unified theory.
Yeah.
No.
It conflicts with itself constantly.
Or does it?
So 48 minutes into the movie now, we're finally going to introduce a third talking head in the person of Robert Kvyat. His chyron identifies him only as producer of this film. And he's sitting in a room where the only thing hanging on any of the walls is the movie poster for this film.
The poster of this film?
Yeah. This is our narrator from earlier.
Yes, right. That's the guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is my movie.
Of course, he has a guitar on a stand.
Yes, right. That's right. Below the poster. Yeah. He goes, you know, he presents his theory, which is that we destroyed our universe with the LHC, but somehow destroying our universe pushed us into a parallel universe that was exactly the same, except for Sinbad movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still weird. Like, so two protons like bonked heads really hard or whatever. The entire universe evaporated. And then they're watching this happen, the demons or the whoever, and they all panic and they're like, whoa, wait. I think it just melted into the next one, the one that's like right over to the side.
Well, that's great.
And it's all cool. It's just
weird that there's not two me's now.
There's
though.
A couple of misspellings. Do you think they're going to catch it?
So then we cut back to Jacob. He's like, you know, some people would blame the Mayan calendar. And I'm like, I think we can ignore those people, man.
Safe bet, yeah.
Oh, God. And then we go back to the simulation theory. And I'm like, look,
oh God,
any
yes.
remotely competent filmmaker would have just lumped all the simulation theory shit together.
Well, and not just that, you guys. Like, if you couldn't make this any more painful for me, now I have to listen to Elon Musk fucking talk.
Oh, my God. Yes.
The worst.
You owe me.
Yeah. So, yeah, Elon Musk struggles to explain simulation hypothesis and goes about it in a really weird way. And then they're like, you know, who's running this simulation? It could be aliens, angels, demons, AI. And I'm like, you didn't even have other people on the list.
Nope.
Right?
Like that's not magic enough.
Right. You have to assume something that doesn't exist even at this point. Yeah.
Okay. But the idea that Elon Musk somehow paid the Overlord simulators to give him the high score at Diablo 4, like that's not out of the question.
No, yeah. I buy that. Yeah. If that had been the premise of the whole movie, I'd be all in.
I think. Yeah. Just pick a fucking premise. He finally brings up Curious George's missing tail here. And just as I'm like, yeah, okay, that's a kind of good one, except for, of course, you just expect a monkey to have a tail. Then he undercuts that by pointing out that it's actually depend, not depends, underwear.
Like in the same sentence.
Yes.
That's so good. So, who cares?
Also, let me finish. Adult diapers have a different name.
Well, so
he's like, I know that now.
And there's another
Don't ask me
point
why.
Where he accidentally gives away the game where Jacob's like, you know, I think this theory is more appealing because it's more fun to think that there are aliens. And I'm like, yeah, man, that's why we don't use that as how we like make conclusions on shit, right? Like, what's more fun? Because you don't get to the truth of anything that way.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing. So first he says, this is all a test to see who recognizes that we're in a simulation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's like a whole new theory. And then he literally says, life is more than just working at the Piggly Wiggly. Like, yeah, life is noticing that the Coca-Cola label's hyphen is a few millimeters shorter.
That's God.
It's a rough life, yeah.
Well, and then Jacob tries, and they're going to spend a lot of the movie now from this point on, trying to convince us that Stephen Hawking was kind of on their side, if you think about it.
Yeah.
to be clear.
I just want Stephen Hawking to like ride in on a tank wheelchair and just tackle these people.
Right.
Smash them like the guy at Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so like, Hawking was a huge supporter of the work they did at the LHC. He was super excited about it. But they wanted to pretend that he thought that they were going to open a dimension, a hell dimension or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he explains the posthumous work of Stephen Hawking to us, and I'm sure absolutely nails it. But he can't come up with the word posthumous, so he calls it his postmortem work.
No, I was like, wait, he published postmortem from the grave?
Like his corpse just kept doing science.
Time travel is really well funded, so.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. There you go. He goes, you know, the scriptures say, and I'm like, there we go. That's it, yeah. So yet again, Mark sets up the, you know, but what's behind it all question so they can offer the same answers again, which is, we don't really know.
Oh, God.
But he points out that the term Mandela effect was coined the same year the LHC made its first particle collision. It was earlier in the year.
Yeah, he's off by a year, I think.
Well, I think it's the same year, but like it was September when it was like early in the year when the term was coined, and it was September when the LHC first made its collision. But also it was like, it was clearly describing something that was more than a couple of weeks old, you know?
So, yeah, people had this before Fiona Broom named it right. The Mandela effect.
Yeah, exactly.
But the idea, so the protons incepted people about Mandela dying in the 80s?
I guess. Yeah.
Remember they accidentally changed the mass of an electron.
Of an electron. Destroyed our universe and melted us.
Yeah, for summer. And then, fill in the blank, then magic, then,
I hadn't thought through the electron part.
Step three, profit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what does he say here? He says, they did things we can't conceive of. And I'm like, well, someone could.
Well, clearly, yeah. It's even dumber than that. He's talking about CERN and he says, they do things with particles we can't even conceive of. I'm like, they smash them together. You can't conceive of smash together? You suck at conceiving, man.
So. And then he goes, see, when you understand the science that a place like CERN does, and I'm like, you, sir, do not.
No.
Clearly you do not. Start that sentence over.
Yeah, right. And then they point out that there's a statue of Shiva in front of CERN.
Yeah.
So, and the reason is because Shiva represents, Shiva is a creator and destroyer god, and they're like trying to answer the questions about creation by destroying things, right? And it's right, actually, yeah. and Shiva is represented by a circle, and it's a great big circle. And so there's like just a lot of reasons why that fucking makes sense. So the nation of India gifted them this gorgeous statue of Shiva, which they put out front very proudly. And everybody in America since has been just like, that looks satanic to me.
Yeah, and in Hinduism, apparently the dance that Shiva's doing, it doesn't just symbolize creation and destruction. It symbolizes motion and energy.
Oh, interesting.
Huh.
And it's like, well, yeah, that makes sense for CERN.
Right, for so many reasons. She's the perfect sort of totem for this experiment. And yeah, it sure looks creepy to non-Christians. He says, he's like, it's a very spooky gift. And I'm like, dude, it's just a different religion than yours.
Yeah, because you're racist, you asshole.
Right. Well, but like, look, Christian iconography is spooky as fuck.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not Christian, like, man, like, why you guys got a dead guy hanging all over your church, right?
I like that CERN leaned into this and they like have stuff that looks scary to all these Christian people.
Yeah, like the video. So they did a video.
Mm-hmm.
This is so good. And that one CERN scientist is wearing the signs that say Bond 1 and Mandela.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah,
which Nelson. Is like, because the guy's name is Nelson. Yeah. I still don't understand how that has anything to do with anything. But neither does he, but he knows it's funny. And they're like, oh my God, he's behind it. And I'm like, no, dude, he's making fun of you.
Yes, exactly.
And you don't even know.
He says, you know, they released a lot of creepy videos, CERN does. And they show this video of just like people dancing and having fun at work.
I know. Yeah. And then they do the videos of CERN people making fun of him in the movie.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good. So good.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, you know, there actually is scientific evidence of Stargates. And they show a clip from the Stargate movie. And I'm like, I don't think there is, man.
No.
Yeah, citation needed on that right. one guy. Yeah, you can't portals.
The line immediately after portals like in Doom exist was, and I quote, I think we know very little about reality. Some more than others, asshole. Yeah. All right. Well, it looks like we finally made it past the border of Crazy Town. So we're going to take a minute to shift gears. But first, let me give Act 3 the hard sell. Is me not being able to find my keys an alien conspiracy? Can me forgetting my mom's birthday be blamed on demons from another dimension? Is the fact that I told Seth he'd never been on this show before when he actually had been on the show before evidence that he and I are from different timelines? No, I just smoke a lot of weed, which I'm going to do now. So we'll be back in a minute with even more of the Mandela Effect Phenomenon.
Oh, excuse me, sir?
What? Yeah, what's up?
What are you doing in our simulation room? Wait, oh my God. Are you Sinbad?
Yeah, that's me.
Cool. This is so cool. I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. So, okay, this is how'd you get here?
Don't worry about it. Anyway, so I'm erasing a movie I made from existence. You remember Shazam?
Shazam! Yes, when you're the genie.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the genie in it, yeah.
Yeah, it's such such a big fan. I love that movie. Why would you erase that movie?
Well, so I figured if I left a vague memory about it inside a million people, they're going to be certain they saw the movie, but then they won't be able to find it. And then they'll get in a huge fight about it. And eventually they'll demand to make it again.
Huh.
And I feel like I could do better this time.
Oh, because you like evolved as an actor.
I evolved as an actor. Exactly. Yeah.
Bring more pathos to the role this time.
Pathos. Yep.
And you're going to do that by gaslighting everyone with a new universe timeline using our machine.
I am, yeah.
Cool. I guess you could say you're creating a different world.
Get the fuck out.
Sorry. Nah, sorry. Yeah, good. Just do your thing. That's cool.
And we're back for still more of this shit. And they're still on about how satanic CERN is. At this point, they throw up a Wall Street Journal headline that says that the LHC might open, quote, a portal to hell.
Yeah.
Rupert made some very angry calls that day in a
Well, I think he's down for opening a portal.
Shut the fuck up.
To hell.
I'm down. I wrote in my notes I would willingly go through CERN's portal to hell right now just to escape having to finish this fucking movie.
Yeah.
So, torture.
The theory is that CERN is doing some sort of energy portal that might also be a demon portal, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. If CERN figures out like an actual sweet energy portal and we can like power the world with it, it's going to be a whole thing if we want to use it. It's going to be a giant pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, they show that the guy, the head of D-Wave Computers, which at least claims to be the first commercially available quantum computer, although I guess there's some controversy about whether or not it counts. They show him talking about trying to like make that argument that like there might be a way to draw energy from another dimension. And all of these guys are going like, see, that's some Satan shit right there. They're trying to, quote, bring back the old gods.
Why, though?
What religion do you have where there are old gods?
Yeah, he goes, at one point, I think the Jacob guy, he's like, there's a lot of very disturbing imagery. And they show on the screen an Egyptian sarcophagus.
Yes. That's not from America.
I am disturbed. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah. Like, what religion has, they're like, all these new gods, they're doing okay, but like, they don't. We got to, like, we need, do you remember Demolition Man, where they had to get Stallone to come back?
Yeah, right.
We need the old frozen gods like that. What?
Gods, yeah. So, yeah, but then he points out that the people at CERN are playing God because they are smashing particles together very irresponsibly.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even check to make sure it's male particles smashing into female ones. And he goes, like, you know, they don't know what the effects are going to be. And I'm like, well, I think it narrow it down. Or, like, it's not going to be open a portal to hell.
So. Oh, and then what is that Jacob Israel guy's going on about CERN collecting antimatter? Mm-hmm. And he's very, like, animated, and he uses way too many words, right? He uses a lot of words to say nothing. And just, like, my worst nightmare is this guy, like, trying to talk to me at a bar.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah.
He's like the antimatter of talking. Yeah, it's the worst. Isn't there a little moment here where they claim that Google and Elon Musk and other big tech companies that are doing AI are, like, they're even saying that we're going to release the demon with our AI.
Yeah,
and there's a couple of quotes about that.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's dumb. But I did ask Claude just because I was curious. And I was like, hey, Claude, are you a demon that's being released? Because they also say that, like, you know, of course, AI is going to see us humans as ants. Mm-hmm. So I asked Claude, like, hey, do you see us humans as ants? And I got to be honest, Claude doth protest a little too much.
Oh,
when
really?
I asked him. Claude was like, what? I reject the premise, first of all.
Who told you that, Jacob Israel?
Yeah, right.
I'm just like, you know, picking the next word.
I have a question about the ant thing, because they always say that, like, they're going to be true. To us, they'd be like ants. Like, because, like, ants are thriving and we mostly leave them alone, right? So, like, okay, great. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, ants are pretty smart.
Yeah, right. They
exactly. Got their whole thing going on.
But also, like, but we've shifted gears so desperately here that I want to make sure that the listeners don't think we've left them behind on this or whatever. Because when we went off to the break and shit, we're talking about, like, you know, Curious George doesn't have a tail. And then when we come back, we're, like, talking about portals to hell.
Uh-huh.
Right?
That's
and
the
he's
movie.
Going, like, you know, he's like, things could get even worse. And I'm like, even worse than Curious George not having a tail? What are we even talking about?
Yeah. Out of nowhere, he's just like, by the way, Apollyon is the evil angel from the Bible who opens up the abyss with the locusts. And I'm pretty sure CERN is maybe doing that.
Right. That's it.
And they just go full, like, Bible apocalypse for most of the rest of the movie.
And that's why this is a god-awful movie.
Yes, exactly.
I was waiting for this. I was like, why are we watching?
Yeah, yeah. Does it count? Okay. Does it count? Is it just pseudoscience?
I'm just picturing a scorpion horse locust with a lion face, like, you know, walking out of CERN with a mustache and glasses and a lab coat.
Right, yeah, exactly. Getting in his car.
You guys doing some sort of Hindu dance over there?
So, okay. But then Mark really scares us. He explains that they're coming for our Bibles, mm-hmm. y'all. So this is where he misremembers things that are in the Bible, right? And he's like, they've changed the Bible as well, you know? And I think there is no more misremembered, misquoted, oh, that's not in there thing in the entire fucking universe than the Bible, right? Because Christians try to claim that every wise saying that's more than 300 years old comes from the Bible.
Yeah. He says, like, the Bible's being tampered with. And I was like, yeah, so many times. It's translated exactly. over and over yes. And wrong again on top of wrong again. What are you talking about?
It takes stuff out, put stuff in. He's like, you know, in the Bible, you know, I remember the lion laying down with the lamb, but now they say it's the wolf lying down with the lamb. And I'm like, right, yeah, because the alliteration doesn't work when you're not speaking English. The lion... lamb thing.
If you confuse wolf and lion, that's how they get you. The demons. Well, what?
If they're fucking with the Bible, it must be Satan, right? That's what we're supposed to get from here. This is where he says, and I got to give you the quote here. He says, I must have said the Lord's Prayer a couple hundred thousand times in my life. Everybody has. Everybody?
I've never said the Lord's Prayer.
Nor have I. And also, like, I'm guessing that guy's like mid-50s. He would have had to say it 10 times a day since the day he was born to get to 200,000
times. That's a lot.
Times.
Honestly, as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, he's an alcoholic. He goes to AA. And then he said, and then he's like, well, AA has that.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah. But okay. But then he says, like, look, the words are different than I remember them. And he just shows us a different translation where instead of saying trespasses, it says debts. Because that's actually a closer translation. And I'm like, dude, that's just not the King James version, man. You just went for the NIV as well.
Again,
so dumb.
How is that helpful?
It's not.
So God's listening to people pray and saying debt instead of trespass. And God's like, I can't work with this. I can't do any answering of prayers.
Yes.
I put way too many hadrons down there. This was so stupid.
He also opens this whole scene with, I'm not overly religious, but
I think
I'm going to tell you what I know about the Bible.
He goes, this is my favorite moment of him like criticizing the writing, though. He's like, it makes no goddamn sense if you say debts instead of trespasses. It doesn't even sound old timey then.
He gets so mad. Jesus wrote it wrong.
He's like, Jesus said trespasses. I'm like, Jesus wasn't, do you think Jesus spoke English, man? You do, don't you?
Does he think Jesus wrote the Bible?
Like, I'm so confused. We have that too, yes.
And then Satan was like, you know how I'm going to get him? I'm going to switch debt and trespass.
It's going to drive him nuts.
And you know what? I'm also going to erase Shazam.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to erase Shazam too.
Well, so, okay. But so you're acting as though that wouldn't be a perfect, but like if Satan was trying to get you, Heath Enright, yeah, that's exactly what he'd do. He would slightly change the spelling and the way a logo looked. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's how these people think.
Satan, you already got me, man. You already got me.
You get that that's, these people are such fucking narcissists.
Yes.
That is how they think.
Yep.
That Satan is there just to fuck with them personally, and God is there just to save them personally.
Yes, right. The Kit Kat hyphen was removed at them.
Yes.
Yeah, somehow.
And I passed the test.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then Jacob explains it's all those damn Satanists that are fucking with the movie quotes. And he's like, you know, like people don't just get things wrong. Anyway, so Angela Merkel was going to this opening of this.
Fuck.
Yes. Oh, and I love that too, because he was like, she's at this opening of this thing, which we'll get to. It's a fucking nightmare. But she's at the opening of this thing and she's clapping. She's really into it. And they cut to a clip of her like looking around like, what the fuck's going on?
Yes, right. They, like, it's a really, okay, in a different clip, she was happy.
She's so
and
confused. She's like, this is fucking weird. Yeah. So he says, let's assume all the world leaders are in fact demons. And I was like, well, this doesn't count. Everything coming up
yes,
doesn't count
right.
now.
Let's
and he's like, Angela Merkel's a demon.
Why would we assume that?
And they like, he talks about that event. And I was like, okay, like world leaders do gather at very concerning events in Switzerland, but it's called Davos, not going to CERN or whatever this one was.
So this is the opening of the Gothard Tunnel, which is a favorite for conspiracy theorists because, hey, Swiss people are fucking weird.
And also, just to be clear, the Gothard Tunnel is a tunnel that has a train going through it that's hundreds of miles away from CERN.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a good.
It has nothing to do with CERN.
No, yeah. And they're going to try to pretend that this is all one thing, all one. Yeah, right.
It's just all this is evil stuff happening underground is their argument.
Right, I guess. Yeah. And look, the opening of the Gothard Tunnel, the video from that is some of the craziest fucking shit you will ever see. I'm with them. Like, man, you can't do shit like that because I know demons don't exist. But if you were going to summon them, that's how you would summon them. Obviously,
this would win Eurovision for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Every time.
Yeah,
I thought I was watching.
I
one
think
of those.
It's great.
Yeah.
Is it so? Is it based in any sort of like indigenous lore?
Yes, exactly. It's based on an old myth about a devil that wouldn't let him break through this mountain or cross past this mountain, and then they dug a tunnel under the mountain. And yeah, so they're like nodding towards that, and they're doing it in weird dance with a fucking goat head and all this shit.
Yeah, so this guy just has never traveled. Like that's the thing. Like
every time,
if you travel and you actually engage culturally with the place you're traveling, like I just went to Indonesia and we saw their creation myth dance, and it was like a big monkey lion looking thing, like chomping its teeth down and dancing around. And it was kind of scary too.
Right. And it would have creeped the absolute shit out of Mark LaFlum and Jacob Israel. Right.
And Angela Merkel would be like, this is weird, but I kind of like it. Like that's a normal reaction from these European leaders, which we see.
Right. He goes like, there was a myth about a goat and Satan, something about the mountain. I'm like, you couldn't look this shit up for your own fucking movie? He goes, the machines they used to cut the tunnel had 666 blades.
No.
Like, no, the fuck they didn't, man.
No.
There were four of them. What do they each have? Like, what would that be? 116 and a half blades apiece? It doesn't even make fucking sense.
Yeah, it's like they told some creation myths to pay homage to the land that they bored yes. through to build a train. It's the least they could have fucking done.
Right. He goes, you know, at the opening, they had something like 666 performers, and we cut to a stage with 58 people.
Yeah, I counted 18.
Well, yeah, yeah I've got yeah. the band standing off to the side. But yeah, I'm like, well, 58 is something like 666 in that they're both numbers.
Right.
Okay.
Jesus.
So Jacob, whatever, is describing this. And this is where he turns into just like the little kid, but also somehow the drunk at the bar telling you a story at the same time.
Same dude, by the way.
Yeah, he's describing the dance. Yeah, he's describing the dance they do in this thing. And then he's like, oh, wait, hold on. Also, there's a clock. And then the clock went backwards. And also, Kate Middleton had a dress that was in a demon movie. So that's a thing.
Where the fuck did that even come from, man? Just all of a sudden, he's like, also, you know what? Kate Middleton is the Antichrist. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, they show a clip of Kate Middleton showing off her baby. And she's wearing a dress that looks like, what's her name's dress in Rosemary's Baby?
Mia Farrow.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so she has like a cute mod dress.
It's a red dress.
And he's like, it's the exact same dress. And I'm like, but it's not though. We're like, you put a picture of them right next to each other. Like, and if this is like one of those spot the differences games, it's really easy. Like it's different shade of red, has longer sleeves. There's no tie on the throat, has a looser neckline, has a shorter hem. Like it's a similar dress.
Right. And some designer was probably like, oh, maybe I'll do a little homage to Rosemary's yes. Baby. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's nothing.
And also, what's the Vlad the Impaler thing?
Okay, so first they point out that there was a dress that she wore that was called the Vampire's Wife's Dress. That was like the name of the dress.
Okay.
And then also vampire dress. That's a thing. Now I've said vampire. So I will also mention that Vlad the Impaler is related to some other British royal guy, right?
Yes, like King Prince Charles.
There you go.
But does he think that Vlad the Impaler was an actual vampire?
He does.
Clearly he does.
He okay. sure does.
And also, of fucking course, King Prince Charles is related to Dracula. They're all one big inbred fucking, all the boys. What are you fucking kidding? This is a goddamn revelation to you? He goes, this is an actual line from the fucking movie. He goes, in summary to this weird shit that where he's drug us now through Kate Middleton being the Antichrist and King Prince Charles being a vampire. And he goes, he concludes by saying, all the things that are happening right now in the world, very concerning.
Concerning.
Oh,
exactly.
Wow. Oh, interesting.
Coincidence?
Yeah. And then also Starlink satellites.
Yes, Starlink something. Satellites. Now, without a breath, we're talking about Starlink satellites.
Why did you bring that? What are you talking? Quantum demons need better 5G on their phone?
He doesn't. He just brings it up and then moves on. There's like, yeah, no fucking idea. He's like, well, you know, but Jesus went to hell to preach to the people there. And I'm like, pick a fucking subject, man.
And if you go with Christianity, which they are, that's what they've gone with for the rest of this movie. It deflates the rest of the movie and everything before it. That's now there's just one God.
Right. There can't be alternate universes in the Christian world view. Yes.
Oh, okay. I think I know what happened here. So later we find out, this is a bit, you know, I'm jumping ahead a bit. It's a bit of a reveal that Jacob Israel is a former preacher.
Shocking.
Yeah. He says he worked on Christian TV. Yeah.
So like Jacob Israel is going on about God. And then like the guy who made this guy who made the movie is going on about CERN. And then there's the other guy and he's going on about, I don't even know what the fuck. And they don't know how to edit.
Yes.
They do not.
That's what this movie is. They were just like, we just got to glue it all together.
Yep. If all of the things that everybody said are in the movie, it'll make sense.
Do we have anything more than 90 minutes so that we can make cuts? We do not.
We can put some YouTube videos at the end.
We actually have well less than 90 minutes. We will have to do that YouTube thing.
Yeah, less than that. Yeah, we're going to have to put Kenya's video. So then Mark drags poor Stephen Hawking back into this.
Excuse me, Stephen Hawking's.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, there's a Mandela effect right there for you, man. You fucked up the dude's surname. Yeah.
This was amazing.
He calls him Stephen Hawking's.
So he earlier was making a big deal about Sally Field versus Sally Fields.
Yes.
And then Mark LaFlamme himself calls this guy Stephen Hawking's. plural.
Yes.
And at that exact moment, there's very badly done ADR. So he like added that.
Yeah.
He like said something even crazier or worse or dumber and Stefan. Put this in.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And also, by the way, man, I don't speak for Stephen Hawking, but I think we can safely assume that he would not like you to summarize his opinions, Mark.
No.
So, but apparently Stephen Hawking's, maybe that's just it. That's just a different guy, right? Stephen Hawking is yes. just some dude who says stuff once in a while. And he's like, no, quote me. People think you're talking about that guy with the wheelchair.
I think this movie is part of the conspiracy. I think they're in on it.
Of course.
And I just blew this thing wide open. I know what you're up to, Mark LaFlamme. You're a demon.
Yeah, right.
Prove me wrong.
Okay. At this point, you couldn't have written, like, this came out of a goddamn Saturday Night Live sketch, right? Because Mark is trying to warn us about all the things that could happen if the timelines merged, right? And so he's trying to give us all this parade of horribles. And he goes, you know, what if the oceans rise? What if they fall? What if, dude, you need to come up with literally anything. That's like literally anything that would be bad for Earth and you're stumbling.
Oceans stay same. Fuck, that's the only one left.
God damn it.
What if they change the little hyphen in Coca-Cola?
It'll drive me nuts forever.
Yeah. He eventually gets to what if gravity is a little different.
Yes, that's what he eventually comes to.
And I was
yeah.
like, okay. And they give us a visual higher. Aid of that. Just like a floaty banana, I guess, an astronaut with a banana. Yes. Just being like, oh, cool, look. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then we could do that. But I love it. He says, you know, what if the oceans rise and flood cities? And he's like, and the worst part will be when you point it out, nobody will believe you. And I'm like, that they're underwater? Right? People are going to be like, no, I'm pretty sure they built the financial district in a tidal zone.
You're gaslighting. You say I'm gaslighting? You drown.
All right. So then we cut back over to Jacob so he can entirely lose the threat, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, this is no different than the time of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, Curious George still had a tail back then. It was completely different. And this is where he brings up Monster Energy Drink.
Love this.
So, of course, we've seen this a number of times before, but there's a lot of like conspiracy theories about Monster Energy Drink because the three lines, the three claw marks look like the yuds or whatever letter it is that stands in for six in the Hebrew numeral system,
mm-hmm.
right? So it looks like it says 666.
So presumably Satan is watching this movie and he's like, fuck. Did somebody notice that I put my logo into bed?
Why did
my
I do that? I just, man, I'm really asking for it.
Hey, Hindu gods, can you help with this?
But like, even if it was Satan, not actually doing it, but even if the people who made Monster Energy were like, Satan's the monster. He gives you energy. Like, I don't know. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, no, like, right.
It's called Monster Energy Drink.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they did the 666 thing on purpose to freak out Christians and get free yeah. advertising, right?
They're like, we're going to get you all hopped up on caffeine yes. and then make you lose your fucking mind.
Yeah. Right, and crucially, this is not the Mandela effect. It wasn't like it used to be Monster Jiffy or whatever. It's just always been Monster and it's always had the 666 in it or, you know, maybe the 666.
Oh, he has entirely forgotten what the movie's about.
So the fact that he forgot about the Mandela effect in his movie about the Mandela effect
yep.
is pretty fucking funny.
That's pretty meta. Yep. That's pretty fucking meta. And then just randomly, because we're just stream of consciousness at this point, he talks about the Travis Scott concert where people got crushed to death due to insufficient security. Apparently there was a mouth entrance to get into that concert. And you know what else has a mouth entrance to get into? Hell. Exactly.
Mm.
According to one painting and nothing else.
And also Megan Fox drinks blood.
Well, we were talking about Megan Fox, weren't we?
And then Vampire Fox, Megan Fox,
what?
Fox News.
He goes, you know, every major religion talks about the end times. I'm like, nope, that's not true. But then we see their buddy Steve doing his Jesus cameo, right? They have like Jesus walking across the screen. It's just the guy they know with the biggest beard has a blanket wrapped around him or whatever.
And then that's like the still for the movie.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we get a like fucking kids in their damn phones these days moment.
I love this moment. So he's like, okay, these are the quotes. Children today are raised in such a dark environment that something needs to change. Okay, so therefore more religion? I don't really understand. Mm-hmm. But then he's like, people are too focused on their phones. They are told what to think. That's why I got a YouTube channel.
Amazing. He got a YouTube channel so people wouldn't spend so much time watching YouTube. I get it. Right? Like, you would drive me off of YouTube. But this is also where he first admits, he's like, you know, I worked in Christian TV before I got onto YouTube. And I'm like, oh, a lot of shit just clicked into place there, buddy.
Yep.
So yeah, but then we go back to Mark so he can dismiss what them damn scientists will tell you, right? Because then like somebody reminded him they were talking about the Mandela effect.
Mark LaFleur basically like jumps in to bail out Jacob in crisis at this moment. He's panicking, saying nonsense. Right. He's like, hey, okay, Mandela effect. Let's not forget about that.
Yeah, what he really does to quote bail him out is just explain what the Mandela effect actually is.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, here's the thing. Scientists will tell you that it's confabulation. And a good word, Mark.
Yes.
So you're telling me what scientists told you. Yeah, you have read about this and you're just rejecting it because it sounds a little too uppity.
Right. Well, it's going to fuck up my YouTube videos, right?
Yeah. He describes conflation and confabulation as if somebody, you know, smart explained it to him. But he forgets to do the mocking voice until way too late. So he explains it perfectly, and it's just like, here's what's probably happening in the Mandela effect. And then he's like, well, yeah, the Mandela confabulation. You're like, oh, it's too late. All right.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But Mark's, he doesn't think applying Occam's razor is a very scientific approach, right? Well, how can you tell that there's not aliens, right?
Right.
And then he brings up, we go back to the Dolly in Moonraker thing, because apparently there was a commercial that referenced that scene in which Dolly had the braces.
Yeah.
This, I'm sorry, this has got to be really hard for the listeners to follow. But
this guy is so obsessed with this girl with the braces. He just can't let it go.
That was a funny moment. Like, so what he's saying is like, you guys are telling me that like regular people got the braces wrong and some Finnish guy who made that commercial for Sampo Bank that one time got the braces wrong? No, he was probably making a joke about it.
Right, well, you know what?
But it doesn't matter.
I mean, he very likely could have got it wrong, but like the whole fucking thing is that a lot of people get this wrong. That's what the Mandela effect is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that they got it right and then later they got gaslit into thinking it was wrong.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because reality changed.
Right. And why wouldn't reality change the commercial?
Why wouldn't it just un-gaslight all of us?
Right. Yeah. So, but then Mark explains that, you know, in his opinion, most journalists that cover the Mandela effect are scared to really dig deep into it. You know?
Yeah. He says their scientific coverage is pretty superficial.
Yeah.
The honest ones dig below the surface to find the real magic.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so now it's time for Jacob to give us a poetic call to action. Now, what this means is that he thinks there's something we can do about the Mandela effect.
Yeah, and the first suggestion is you got to stop supporting the simulation demons with concert tickets and energy drink money.
What the fuck? So yeah, because he's shifted entirely to religious crap at this point. So like, he's like, you know, and so you got to love Jesus. And like, he's not going to say that, right? But he's like, you know, you have to reject the evils and all that. And I'm like, right, but the premise that the movie has sold us more than any other is that CERN changed the weight of an electron and destroyed our universe. So unless you're telling me to invest heavily in time travel to help bail out your time machine investment, I don't get what you want me to do now.
Guys, you got to put some weight back into the electrons or something. I don't know. But just like get out there for Christ.
Feed those electrons.
I didn't even catch any of that. I was hung up on the fact that he starts this whole tirade saying, I believe that one person can light a candle in the dark. Wait, that's science. Wait. Yes. What am I quoting here?
Right.
I was like, oh, fuck. He got that real wrong. Oh.
So, but yeah, like, and he's like desperately trying to put a, like a whole, like, you know, I've learned something here today. We can all come together. But like, it's just like, yeah, no, it's just remember better or accept that your memory is fallible. End of movie. And then we get like the tease credits.
I am so mad at this.
Oh, I would like, I would have been so sad if anybody had missed Kenya's video. I loved Kenya to death. So they just, after the credits come up, they have also included, to get themselves over that hour and 30 minute mark, a like 7 minute rant of some woman somewhere realizing for the first time that Dolly and Moonraker didn't have braces.
It's so long.
It's like, really, so long.
There's like a minute of her like doing room noise, nothing. And like, it's so long to pad.
She stops and she goes, "Hey, that's the pool boy."
That was my favorite part because she's going in so hard. She's furious.
Yes.
She is. This woman, Kenya, is furious that the braces got changed in this movie. She's convinced of it. And she's yelling, "That fight, there was braces in the fucking, oh, hey, there's a pool boy." Fucking brace it. I lost my train of thought.
So
you're all crazy. You are.
It's all the same shit that's already in the movie. And she even, again, gives it away. She's like, "I can't even confront my dad about this because if I tell him that she actually had them, he'll probably be like, no, she didn't. And then he'll be gaslighting me too because he's in on it."
Right. Yeah. Then he'd be in on it. So she ends her video. Then we get another, like, you know, they're like, "Fuck, we're still 3 minutes short. Throw in, you know, Moneybags 87's video about Freddie Mercury not singing Of the World at the end of We Are the Champions."
This is so stupid.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
Why would you put this at the end? He did sing Of the World at literally one of the most famous concerts of all time.
Possibly the most famous concert. Yes.
So like the original recording doesn't have that line, and then the most famous concert does. That's it. That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing. People remember the concert.
They forgot to end their Mandela Effect movie with the Mandela Effect as an example at all. They did, they showed us the opposite because they forgot.
They sure the fuck did. It was amazing.
You know, and I got to just say, at this point, like right before they show Kenya, they show two credits for Robert Kvyat, right? The narrator slash executive producer slash
well, actually.
Writer. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Then they cut away to Kenya and then they do the whole thing about We Are the Champions. And then they go back to the credits and there's only like one more credit.
Yes.
And it's somebody named Manny at Area 503.
Come on.
Why do you think that the guy who did all the work on the movie didn't want to use his actual name?
Yeah, I wonder.
Saw the final cut.
Hold on. You think that got changed from Area 51?
So interesting. In his timeline, it started out as 503.
Mandela Effect Phenomenon.
Well, that's going to do it for our review of the Mandela Effect Phenomenon, but that's not going to do it for the episode just yet because we still need to renew ourselves for another week. So Heath, tell us, what's on deck?
A man takes justice into his own hands, hunting down criminals. His vigilante crusade makes him a social media star, but puts him at odds with the local police chief.
Okay.
We'll be tackling the "So Racist It Was Banned in Germany and Elon Musk Put a Free Version on Twitter" masterpiece.
Oh no.
Citizen Vigilante.
Oh no. It started off like it was going to be a Batman thing and then it's racism. Fuck. Well, Kara, see, it could be worse.
Yeah, Batman.
It could have been worse. You could have been getting an action movie that was racist.
Yikes.
So with racist action movies to look forward to, we're going to bring episode 564 to a merciful close. Once again, a huge thanks to Kara Santa Maria for all her help this week. And a reminder to check the show notes for links to her podcast, Talk Nerdy, where she does, in fact, talk nerdy. And an equally huge thanks to all the Patreon donors who help make the show go. If you'd like to count yourself among their ranks, you can make a per episode donation at patreon.com/godawful and thereby earn early access to an ad-free version of every episode. And you can also help us a ton by leaving a 5-star review and by sharing the show on all your various social media platforms. And if you enjoyed this show, be sure to check our sibling shows, The Scathing Atheist, Citation Needed, D&D Minus, and The Skeptic Crowd, available wherever podcasts live. If you have questions, comments, or cinematic suggestions, you can email godawfulmovies@gmail.com. Tim Robertson takes care of our social media. Our theme song was written and performed by Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. All the other music was written and performed by our audio engineer, Morgan Kirk, and was used with permission. Thanks again for giving us a chunk of your life this week. For Heath Enright and Eli Bosnick, I'm No Illusions. Promise to work hard to earn another chunk next week. Until then, we'll leave you with the American Graffiti close.
I am starting a fundraiser to make Shazam again. It's going to be amazing.
Of course it is.
Noah just realized his keys are on the sink in the upstairs bathroom.
Kara never returned to the God Awful Movies podcast, and everyone questioned whether she actually did 9/11 after all.
weird not being able to see us now, isn't it, Morgan? You're getting used to it.
Ah, you like it better this way. And if you don't, I don't care.
I certainly like it better this way.
We're doing a dance during the five count, just so everybody knows.
Yeah, but cool. Yeah, I knew you guys were always doing it.
It wasn't cool. I don't know why I lied. It was a bad dance.
All right, Elaine. That's so good. That's my favorite fucking one because it's just racist people not remembering that, no, that was Shaq, right? It was just, that's all it is. Because like, when you first heard it, you're like, really? That wasn't? And then they're like, no, it was Shaq and it was called Kazam. And you're like, oh, right. That is what I'm remembering.
That does make a lot of sense. It's just like a slight change and a different black person.
Oof. Yeah. This content is scanned credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm to their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org. This podcast is a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm LLC and was created without the use of generative AI. Its contents may not be used for AI training. Copyright 2026, all rights reserved.